Hi, it's Greg and Lucky.
And this is our podcast. If you don't catch us from 5 to 9, this is what you missed.
Now here's a little tip to save you some dough. Never go grocery shopping on an empty stomach. Now, that's been said for a very long time. Many people agree with that, but now there's actually been a dollar amount attached to it. You could spend up to an extra $35 per trip on average if you go grocery shopping on an empty stomach.
Wow, $35.
Yeah. Well, it's a couple of cucumbers and a tomato right there.
It's true.
You know.
but normally when we go shopping on an empty stomach, it's not that stuff.
No, it's not.
I'm grabbing, especially if I go like later in the day.
Yeah.
Like if going evening, and it's not necessarily an empty stomach, it could be after dinner, but if I'm rushing out to get something, it's usually snacks involved.
Yeah, now that the spring and summer is fast approaching, the DQ is on our list of places.
Oh, wow.
We went just the other night, and the big peanut butter parfait and then this and that, it's all too much for me.
Okay.
Like, I'll go a few scoops in and I'm like, oh, I've had enough.
Right.
But I love their ice cream sandwiches.
Any ice cream sandwich. Have you turned down one?
Well, I don't like they have to have the soft cookie coating with the little holes.
Okay.
I don't like that flat black or dark chocolate. You know, the ones they have. What's the texture? I like that soft, doughy cookie.
Yes, all right. Standard.
The standard, yeah. Sometimes there's the knockoffs with the bad chocolate cover.
Right. And they did some that have, like a chocolate chip cookie, but that gets pretty hard, dense cookie.
Now, the only thing, and I do get concerned with the Dairy Queen ice cream sandwich, is because they're ice cream to cookie ratio, like they put a lot of ice cream in there.
Right.
And I think to myself, that's too much ice cream. And then when I eat it, I go, no, it's the perfect amount of ice cream. So I bought a box of six the other night because I went out and we all got Dairy Queen. And I made an announcement in my living room. Nobody touch my ice cream sandwiches.
Right.
So I think I'm going to have one today. Or two. It's Friday. Why not treat myself? Anyhow, yeah, $35 extra on just, as we say, crap. So that, you know, that can really run you up.
Right. You know? And driving on the empty tank, that's more, they say like dirt and stuff, like the grit, I think, that gets into the fuel, gets stirred around,
with your car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's what they say, never drive on empty.
Right.
Never
drive on E, never shop for groceries on E. Ecstasy.
That's right. You'll spend a lot more than $35 if you do that.
And the average person makes a couple of grocery runs per week and budgets about $220 for their haul. Now, I'm trying to do the math because I grocery shop every day. And because of that, lots of times, and I really think my way is the way to go because, like yesterday, I made these stuffed peppers. But a lot of the ingredients I already have because I'll see things when they're on sale. So I'll grab this, that, or the other thing.
Okay.
So yesterday my grocery bill was $12 because I just had to top up a couple of things.
Right.
And then $18 for a bottle of wine. There might be a problem when your alcohol for dinner costs more than the food itself. That Post Malone's a busy guy. He was just working with Taylor Swift on her new album. Now he's expanding into the world of graphic novels and movies with an original idea he came up with that mixes Mad Max Fury Road with the Evil Dead franchise.
Wow.
Story takes place in medieval Europe. The only thing standing in the way of demons infesting the continent is a mysterious armored 18-wheeler seemingly sent from the heavens.
Who's this Post Malone?
Yeah. The first story in this universe will be released as a graphic novel in 2025. It'll be followed by a movie he's developing along with Michael Bay.
You know what? A very interesting dude. Because one that, I mean, at first I wouldn't gravitate toward is music.
Mm.
Two, doesn't look like a guy I would normally hang out with or associate with. But he seems like a very solid stand-up guy and very interesting.
Very open about his mental health issues. And, him and Jelly Roll seem to be cut from the same cloth.
Yeah. Like we were talking about, like, people you'd put on your Mount Rushmore.
Yeah.
He might be one that would be an interesting invite to the dinner conversation. Mm.
Yeah, probably. Patrick Mahomes holds 3 Super Bowl MVP titles, but he's afraid to host SNL. because he says, I have a fear of teleprompters.
Fear of them.
Yeah, he says he's still scared from a speech he gave at the 2023 ESPY Awards. Once he finds out SNL doesn't use teleprompters, they use cue cards.
Right.
Maybe he'll change his mind.
Well, maybe it's a fear of reading is the issue.
As long as they put him in a Muppet outfit.
I was going to say, you would love a Muppet skit for him. You think his voice
sounds
like
he's got
like
the
it.
Voice of a Muppet. Probably not that long ago, we remember hearing about Kanye West being a pretty serious man of God. Well, the holy era is over because his reps are saying that he's launching a porn studio. Yeezy Porn.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, he's working with a guy named Mike Mose, a veteran in the porn business.
Yeah.
Who's been a producer, casting director, art director over the years.
Sounds like a great association to have.
Yeah. He's also the ex-husband of Stormy Daniels.
Oh.
Yeezy Porn could launch as early as this summer. And I love me some porn, but I won't support Kanye. That's where I draw the line.
Not going to Yeezy.com.
No. Ben Stiller is still shooken and effed up about Zoolander 2.
Oh.
He says, I really thought people wanted it to happen. He said, I was blindsided by fans' negative reactions. He says, everybody didn't go to it. It's gotten horrible reviews. What scared me the most on that one was I thought, I'm losing what I think is funny. The question, and then questioning myself. It definitely took me a long time to get over. Zoolander 2 had a budget of $50 million and only made $29 million.
Oh, my. Yeah. The first one was funny in a sense that you're like, okay, this is funny, but I don't know how long you could continue that going on. Yeah. Did it need a sequel? No.
What we need is Dodgeball 2.
That's right.
That's what we need. And a quick little side note. I don't know if you've seen this video of Alec Baldwin being harassed by this woman in a coffee shop.
No.
She's got her phone on him and he's just trying to order a coffee. And you know, look it, he's got a trigger temper to begin with. No pun intended. He's been known to smack cameras out of, paparazzi's hands and such, yell at reporters, but he's just minding his own business and getting a coffee. And she's got this camera, her phone in his face, and she's going, you should be in prison. You should be in prison. You murdered that girl. And then she rants at him like this for minutes. He just ignores her, does his best, asks the owner of the coffee shop to ask her to leave. And then she starts in on this, why don't you support Palestine? Like she's just all over the place. Support Palestine. Say on my phone you support Palestine. And he finally smacks the phone out of her hand. He probably wishes he had that gun in his hand again. Arnold Schwarzenegger and Sylvester Stallone were asked to make their own Mount Rushmore of action heroes. And, of course, they both put themselves on there. Now there's four heads on Mount Rushmore. And I would think that would make sense that Arnold and Sly would be up there, but, and they both agreed that the other two should be Clint Eastwood and Bruce Willis.
Right.
And that got me thinking about Mount Rushmore. Isn't there, there is the, who would you like to have dinner with? Who would you want to play a foursome of golf with?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, this is an interesting twist on it. Your own Mount Rushmore. And so I, instead of just doing action heroes, I decided to go with, you gotta pick an actor, you gotta pick a musician, you gotta pick an athlete. And you got to pick your biggest crush as a kid. So we threw it out there to Rock listeners, and you can always chime in if you want, 855-432-ROCK. Matt says his favorite actor would be Jack Black. His favorite musician would be David Mustaine. Is it Mustaine,
Dave
I guess?
Mustaine, yeah.
From Megadeth.
Formerly Metallica, now Megadeth, yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah. And Mark Calloway, also known as The Undertaker, as his favorite athlete. His big crush, Drew Barrymore.
Oh.
Yeah, so that's a good one. Somebody else chimed in for actor Sean Connery, for musician Gordon Lightfoot, for athlete Wayne Gretzky, and Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Oh.
Not a bad pick there.
Right, yeah.
What has Frank got here? This is the first time I saw this. So for his Mount Rushmore, Stallone, I guess, is his favorite actor. Who's Nikki Taylor?
I don't know. Oh, yeah, she was a model.
Was she?
Yeah.
Michael Schumacher, I guess, is his favorite athlete.
Okay.
And Prince. Oh, so he probably means Prince is his favorite musician of all time, and then Nikki Taylor is. Okay.
Gotcha. Right.
Got that. What else do we, Donna. All right, I'm going to save Donna for a minute here.
Okay.
Because her and I agreed on the favorite actor. But first up, Lucky, do you have your actor, your musician, your athlete, and your biggest crush for Lucky's Mount Rushmore?
Well, I think for athlete, I'll go with Tiger Woods.
All right.
This is for the Mount Rushmore version, because I was really conflicted on this.
Right.
Because this is not, you know, although Tiger would have a great shot to be in my dream foursome or dinner table, it doesn't seem like the most entertaining guy you know, hanging around for 4 hours with. I would be in awe of watching him play.
Sure.
But, you know, just in terms of chatting, not sure we'd get along.
So, yeah, but just as a guy who's the top of the top
of the game, or, you know, game changer.
Yeah.
It's Tiger Woods.
All right.
What he did in the game of golf is unbelievable and changed the landscape of the game for professionals now. Actor.
Yeah.
Again, torn on between two here. I think I go with Denzel Washington.
Okay.
Just every role.
Good pick.
Has been just so pivotal. And one of, you know, the underrated movies that really, you know, everyone looks at like Training Day and that sort of thing. And you know, remember the Titans. John Q. Remember that one?
Yes, great movie.
Oh, dad who's, you know, trying to get his surgery for his son or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, those terrific movie.
What a great one. And tough on the teen heartthrob kind of.
Let's do your musician. Crush. Who's your musician?
Oh, Dave Matthews.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
He's going to put the whole mountain to sleep.
He's not playing on a mountain or in my foursome or at my dinner table.
All right. Good point.
But I do appreciate his music. Yeah. Not all do. And I'm fine with that.
Uh-huh.
But conflicted on the model too, because, or the crush, because it comes down to basically the 90s, Sports Illustrated swimsuit editions for me, because those were game changers in the model category.
In the masturbatory arts.
I learned things while holding that magazine in one hand.
That's right.
and the likes of Christy Brinkley.
Okay.
Really come to mind. Kathy Ireland up there as well, and Elle McPherson. So it's a tough pick.
Gotta pick one.
I think Elle McPherson was the pivotal moment.
All right. Good. It's a good mountain.
Uh-huh.
That's a fine mountain.
It's a fine mountain.
It is a good mountain. I like this mountain. Somebody also just texted in. Michael Keaton for actor.
Okay.
Freddie Mercury for musician.
All right.
Wayne Gretzky for the jock.
Yeah.
And Jennifer Aniston for the crush.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
What else we got here? I just got people chiming in now. Adam Sandler, greatest actor. Johnny Cash.
Greatest actor, Adam Sandler?
Yeah.
Do you only have Netflix?
I guess. You know what? I guess we can't judge.
Come up a couple of times. No, I mean,
can't
listen,
judge. You picked Dave Matthews.
It's their own choice.
Johnny Cash, Wayne Gretzky again, and Alicia Cuthbert.
Oh, okay.
It's a good pick.
Yeah. Yeah. It depends on your age. I mean, Alicia Cuthbert was, I think, hosting a Canadian tween Discovery Planet or a science show or something like
right.
that. When we were in our teens.
So a couple of people have agreed on a couple of things with me. So Jason says, there's Adam Sandler again, Kurt Cobain, Tiger Woods.
Yeah.
And Farrah Fawcett.
Okay.
And that is my pick. Because for biggest
for all
crush.
Four of them?
Yes. Yes.
No. Jason are aligned?
No.
Farrah Fawcett for you?
Farrah Fawcett for all four.
The red bikini?
You want to talk about a poster held with one hand.
Right.
I mean, I don't remember a time in my life. No, it's not that there was even anybody before that. I was of an age when she came along that I was all of a sudden like, ooh. Girls are pretty.
Right.
And she just knocked me out of my little shoes.
Was that the first time you realized that the human body does that when it's cold?
I guess.
Probably.
I was so crazy. If I could have stalked her as a 12-year-old,
right.
I would have made my way to California.
Gotcha.
Oh, my gosh. And I always remember a joke that made me laugh so hard when I was young. Why did Lee Majors kill the plumber? Because he was screwing the faucet. That made a 12-year-old Craigie Vick laugh very hard.
All right, so that's your crush.
My crush, yeah.
Okay.
My actor, and it would be so easy to just go to Al Pacino or Robert De Niro. That's such an easy go-to. But
right.
I really had to think about it, and I had to think about an actor who I don't think has ever made a bad movie.
Pauly Shore.
Oh, damn, I didn't even think of him. And Al Pacino, for all his greatness, and De Niro, for all his greatness, have made some stinkers along the way.
A lot of them are trying to cut some checks in their careers here, yeah.
But I would say one actor, much like Denzel Washington, who probably has never done a stinker, John Malkovich.
Oh.
I don't think he's ever made a bad movie.
Right.
Everything he's in.
He's a very good actor.
I just saw him in Burn After Reading, I think it was called.
Okay.
And when he loses his mind and starts screaming at people.
Right.
It's some of the all-time best acting.
Being John Malkovich was a bit of a weird one.
It was a bit of a documentary about his, but still a great movie.
Yeah. Rounders was such, and what's great about that story too is that like Matt Damon tells it that no one knew he was doing this Russian accent until he showed up and started doing it, and they all had to try and keep their faces together.
He was even in Billions as a Russian guy, and he was great, and of course in The Line of Fire with Clint Eastwood.
Right, that's a good flick.
Amazing.
That's a very good. That's a remote drop for me.
Yeah, that's a good one. When he's just screaming at him on the phone.
All right.
My musician, of course, hands down, never even had to think about it for a second, Keith Richards.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't know if you were going Keith or Mick, to be honest.
Keith. Keith is the backbone of that band.
Right.
Mick's a poser. And for my athlete, Michael Jordan.
All right.
Yeah. I think greatest of all time, not just in basketball. I think he could be considered the greatest athlete of all time.
Right. Again, a game changer in athletics, a game changer in sponsorship deals for athletes as well.
Right.
So many athletes behind him have a lot to thank Michael Jordan for in terms of, the shoe deal and, well, I guess, Michael Jordan's mom, if you watched the movie Air, in the compensation for such deals.
That's very
too,
true,
right?
Yeah. And Donna agreed with me on John Malkovich. Her favorite musician and up on the mountain would be Alice Cooper. I love this as a favorite athlete, Northern Dancer. That's interesting. A horse is an athlete. That's a good pick.
All right, who's her crush?
Freddie Mercury.
Mr. Ed?
She would have had more chance with Northern Dancer.
I want to see the sculptor who has to do that one.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, John Malkovich, Northern Dancer, an odd-looking mountain.
And Freddie there.
Yeah, Freddie, too.
That's a good mix. I had myself some fun yesterday just flipping through all the news channels, listening to all the anchors have to repeatedly say David Pecker. Might as well have said David Penis, David Wiener.
Right.
It was great fun.
Former editor of the National Enquirer.
And a confidant of Donald Trump. Not so much anymore, I guess. So he was on the stand yesterday. They take a break today. They're on the stand again. He's there again on Thursday. So, what a name to go through life with.
Oh, I know. Right. Yeah. I mean, Peckerhead.
Oh,
there's so many.
Oh, it's endless.
Yes.
David Penis constantly. Wiener.
And there have been a few, even salacious. Remember Anthony Wiener?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Well, and Donald Trump dances like he's got a pecker in his hand.
That's true.
So maybe.
Or two.
Maybe he's masking. Maybe that's where all the anger comes from.
Could be.
Maybe he's masking.
What's interesting about this is all going back, of course, to the Stormy Daniels stuff. And it brings Michael Cohen, his former lawyer, back into the fray, who, remember, is one of the few that actually served some jail time in all of these dealings and doings with the number of cases and indictments against Donald Trump that have happened over the last few years. And this one, you know, David Pecker in the National Enquirer. You're such a child.
I just giggled all day yesterday.
Are basically testifying that they all colluded together to post positive stories about Trump, negative stories about his opponents, and divert attention from hush money payments to Stormy Daniels.
Yeah, there was a thing I saw with Anderson Cooper. I believe her name was Karen McDougal. That was her name. She did a long interview. This is going back, I think, to 2018. She did a long interview with Anderson Cooper because she also was sleeping with Trump around the time of Stormy Daniels, had a 9-month affair with him, and was a Playboy playmate and a model. And the National Enquirer had approached her. They do what do they call it? It's a grab and sink or a buy and burn, or there's some term they use where basically they buy a story and they squash it.
Okay.
So, I guess there were all these rumors out there about this Karen McDougal, and she had decided she wanted to get ahead of it. And she, I guess Stormy Daniels coming forward probably had prompted her to want to do the same. And, so the National Enquirer said, well, listen, why don't you do the story with us? And we'll pay you X amount of dollars. And her lawyer initially had said millions and millions of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, that turned out to be about $150,000. That seems to be the ballpark of Trump and his spending on the women. But what they were going to do was they were enticing her with the opportunity to forward her career as a writer. So she was going to write health and fitness articles in like 4 or 5 different magazines that were under the umbrella of the National Enquirer, and she was going to do some blogging, and it was going to be like a 2 or 3 year contract, which she could then spin off into other stuff. And none of that happened. They basically promised her a boatload of money, only ended up coughing her up $150,000, and she never wrote an article. Nothing ever happened. So she sued them, and she went out. So anyhow, the National Enquirer did a lot more, and this David Pecker did a lot more than just try to write good stories about Donald and bad about his opponent.
Right.
They bought stories that were bad about Trump and squashed them.
So. Yeah. And, you know, if what is to remember in all of this is that, you know, this is, you know, again, Michael Cohen went to jail against Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. Yeah, most who have gone to jail in any of this or been accused of anything have been those who are protecting Donald Trump.
Yep.
And so he's one of the few to kind of come out against him. Of course, from Trump's, supporters, they vilify him as doing it for the attention.
Mm.
But, you know, these are guys who are, you know, admitting that they are guilty of committing crimes in order to protect him.
Yep.
You know, as for the sleeping around, of course it doesn't look good on Donald Trump, but he's not the first president to be guilty of.
Kennedy. Kennedy was barely in the White House.
I was about to say, he's one of the most beloved, has been John Kennedy, in the relationship with Jackie Onassis and the Kennedy compound, and, you know, a family that is revered in the U.S. as being like royalty, are also very guilty of some very salacious acts while in the White House and around it as well.
And, you know, Kennedy came out of a time, this was just lucky for him, because even with the out-and-out open affair with Marilyn Monroe, he came of a time of madmen.
Right.
Men drank scotch, they smoked cigarettes, the Rat Pack, they womanized. It was seen as a manly thing to do. That doesn't fly anymore now when you hear that a guy's got like a 4-month-old and he's boning a porn star. Or two, or three.
Okay, then that was probably the final lucky thing that happened for Kennedy, though.
No, I'm talking about Trump.
Oh, okay.
That doesn't fly now. When your wife is at home caring for a 4-month-old.
Right.
While you're boning porn stars and playmate models. Anyhow, listen, I think the... now that Trump probably doesn't have a pecker protecting him. No pecker for you, Donald. This is interesting in the world of science. Always love to read this stuff. The mix of gases trapped inside Uranus might be different than we thought. I know in this room there's no gas trapped in anybody's Uranus.
No, we let it fly.
I feel so bad for Lorianne when she gets in here.
So we're talking about the body and not the planets this time around.
No, we're actually talking about the planet.
Okay.
But, you know, Uranus is just funny to say. Anytime I read a story. Same goes for Neptune. A study found there could be more methane in there than expected.
Oh.
So I don't know why we need to know that. I mean, methane is odorless but highly flammable. So you just don't want to light a candle near Uranus. Get that candle away from
me. That's right.
More bathroom stuff. If you're a man over 50 who constantly has to pee, there's an app for that on the way. Urologists developed it to offer pelvic floor training and bladder control tips.
Really? So the app's going to stop you or teach you how to stop,
I guess? I guess maybe teach you how to control your bladder a little bit, perhaps. So if you got somebody in your life who's struggling with that. And scientists in the Netherlands think they found the specific gene that makes people left-handed. And only around 10% of people worldwide are lefties.
Right.
And I'm one of them.
Yes, you are.
And then the rest of them are hockey players in Canada.
And golfers.
Oh, really? A lot of golfers are lefties?
Well, no, because the thing in hockey is that even a lot of right-handed people shoot left, right?
And, oh, really?
Yeah, and that translates into how they golf as well. Like, I'm right-handed. I shoot left in hockey.
Really?
But I golf right.
Isn't that interesting? Yeah, I do everything with my left hand.
Like, Canada has the highest per capita number of left-handed golfers.
So you write with your right?
Yes.
But you golf with your right and you play hockey with your left?
Yes.
When you're eating, is your fork in your right hand or your left hand?
My left hand.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Huh. When you drink, left?
Both.
Rock Mornings with Craig Venn and Lucky. 94.9 The Rock.